morning, open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. This message is only for people that want the red pill. If you know anything about the Matrix, the blue pill are the people that are connected to the system, illusions. They kind of want to sleep off into a never-never land. But for the red pill, we have to face reality, know what's really going on, look beyond what we see and what we sense to what God is really telling us in this hour. So in first, if you're not a red pill person, don't even watch this video because it'll make you mad and bring you more questions. But this is for the people that are waking and that have awaked to the truth of what's going on and also to warn other people. This is the day we as Christians need to shine because this is the day we have to be a light in the darkness and we have to be salt to those that are thirsty. And there's many people in this hour that are going to be confused, freaked out, scared. And we that have the Bible need to keep telling them what the words of Jesus are, because he promised these things were going to happen. So we need to be, first of all, sober. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober. That word sober in the Greek or in the Strong's, it means free from illusions. And that's why I say the people that are connected to the blue pill or stuck to their TVs or their movies are going to be totally caught unaware for what's happening in the world today because they're not facing what goes beyond what we're seeing right now. I want to be very careful my words so I don't get taken down. But to be sober means to be free from intoxicating influences. And that means alcohol, drugs, but it also means fear. We're in a fear era. And the moment we give our fear away, we give away our power. Do not be afraid about what they're telling you, what's going on in mass media. Remember, whoever controls the media controls the world. So we have to be tuned in to the Lord, our shepherd. He's the great watchman. And as we're tuned into the great watchman, we can see and hear. God's given us that ability. And remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God's given us great immune systems. And the enemy wants to do everything he can to get inside your body, place things inside your body. That's all I'm going to say right now. But be sober from illusions and be vigilant. It means to be attentive and to discern. Be sober. That means be free from any kind of intoxicating influences. When you're put under fear, you don't think straight. When you're put under fear, you get paralyzed. When you get under fear, you're afraid of stuff that you should not be afraid of. But when it's pumped into you moment after moment after moment, if you do not know, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, you got to combat what's happening in the world because it's not just what they're saying it is, it's agendas that we've warned you about for the last 6 years. And if you haven't watched some of these videos that I did, go back and listen to them before they're taken down, because there will be a time that truth and information people will be taken down. So we need to be vigilant, attentive to discover. Watch and see. Look and hear what the Lord is telling you. What are you sensing on the inside? What's God speaking to you? Because why? Your adversary, the devil, here's what he does as a roaring lion. He's roaring right now. He's roaring every place, every continent, every nation is under what? Fear, lockdown, paralyzed. What does he do? He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Remember, God says he's not given us a spirit of fear. In the olden days, those martyrs, they laid down their lives. They weren't afraid of what man could do to their bodies, but they committed themselves to the Lord who controls eternity of where we're really going to go, right? So in this hour, we don't fear man, we fear the Lord. And that's what this whole message is going to start off with, about all of us are called to be watchmen. And then at the end, I'm going to share with you, and a lot of people only listen to the first few, stick to the end of this because I'm going to share with you what I'm seeing, what's happening now. But he wants to see who can devour. Whom resist steadfast, what? In the faith, trusting in the Lord, trusting in Jesus. There is an appointed unto man once to die. God's not going to let that time happen until it's your appointed time. Trust in that, right? Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. After you have suffered a while. I've preached on this my whole ministry, and people didn't like this verse. We have been told in the world, the church world, the fake world, that there's no suffering. Well, I'm surprised that there, people are starting to suffer in America that they thought never any kind of shortages, famines, diseases, anything would happen. Well, God says there's a suffering, and there's a suffering especially in Matthew 24 for what? The Christians. And the Bible says in Revelations that the enemy, the beast, will make war with who? With the saints. So what is this? This is the attack of the evil against good. That's what the conspiracy is. It's a plot of evil planned underneath, secretive, covertly to attack. And this is what's been happening for many, 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 many years. We've been talking to you about some of these things that are now surfacing and people are starting to see. He said, after you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. That word suffered there in the Greek means endure evils, hardships, and troubles. Have we been prepared in America to have hardships, to endure struggles? Have we been even taught by our leaders that any kind of bad thing could even possibly happen to us? Well, if you've been listening to the correct watchman, you know you're prepared. We have to believe for the best, but prepare for the worst. So this is kind of what I want to tell you. What we're all called to be watchmen, but what is a watchman? It's someone who is alert and awake. It means to watch, to warn of danger. Blow the trumpet and wake people up and warn the people he serves. If you're under a good leader, they should be warning you, not entertaining you, not flattering you with all this fluff and buff and how much fun this is that now we're all having our little fun times on watching TV together. They should be warning you what's really happening underneath. 2 Chronicles 23:6 says, all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. All of us. In the Old Testament, it just had prophets that were, what were they called to do? Warn. Where's the warning in the body of Christ? Everything is just blessed and highly favored and we're the top and we're this and that. Well, it's a new day. The safety of the entire town depended on sharp eyes and good ears. If you had a good watchman, he was watching. He never slept. They'd take guard duty. So if one got tired, the other one, they were watching to see where the enemy was so the enemy didn't get inside of the camp. And it was very, very important that the watchman had good eyes and that he could hear. Because even hearing the enemy in the thickets and stuff, he could know and he could blow the trumpet. He could sound the alarm and prepare all the people inside to get ready for the enemy. Now, the Old Testament, God had prophets to warn Israel of spiritual danger and pagan practices. The pagan practices are now coming out into the open. The consequences of being deceived by the enemy's schemes of evil. God's always had watchmen. He's always had people that are warning. They're warning. They're not just giving you wonderful news, but knowing that the enemy wants to take over. They want a totalitarian government. Now we're under, all of the nations of the world are under lockdown. This is ushering in a whole new, everything is going to be new. We're going to talk about that in a second. So God had his prophets back then, and he demanded obedience out of his watchmen. And this is a day where I believe God's telling us, he's warning us, we need to warn our family and our friends that we can to prepare them for the days ahead. Ezekiel was such a watchman. Ezekiel 3:7, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Hear a word from my mouth and give them a warning for me or from me. In other words, these prophets just received mail from the Lord and had to deliver it. They didn't get to say, I don't want to say that, and I might get in trouble for saying that. What did they do? They obeyed the voice that the Lord told them. He said, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And even back with Micaiah, he was the one true prophet with all the false prophets were saying, all is well, it's going to be great. But Micaiah was the real true prophet. He was thrown in jail for what? Telling the truth. Telling what God had said. So they heard what the Lord told them, and then they had to warn. Not just bless, but there's a time of warning. This is God's mercy to warn people. Now in Ezekiel 3:18 it says, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to the wicked about his wicked ways to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. You have to warn, whether they like it or not, whether it's in season or out of season. Well, they're wicked. Why should I warn them? Because God's a God of mercy. And if you warn them, even if they don't listen, you are not responsible. Their blood is off of your hands. You told them the truth. Many of you are weary. You're saying, well, this person won't listen. My family won't listen. You're going to have a season, I believe, that they're going to wake up and you're going to have to warn them. You're going to have to warn them about the things that are coming on the earth. And a lot of these warnings I have in my past videos. Ezekiel had to warn the wicked when God told him to. He would be judged if he didn't deliver the message. This is how responsible the Old Testament watchmen were, that God would require the blood of all these people if he didn't warn them. Even if they didn't listen, he had to blow the trumpet. Do you understand? Even if the wicked didn't listen, the blood was no longer required of them. When he stands before God, and this is who we have to fear in this hour. You can't let the fear of man and the fear of all these things that are happening, we must walk in the fear of the Lord, okay? Now in Ezekiel 3:20, again, he said, because you did not give them warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done will not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. So there's going to be people that no matter what, they're not going to listen. There's going to be some people that will, and you're going to help save them. But regardless, you've delivered your soul. You've obeyed God, and God is looking at your obedience. So regardless if people cut you off, they take you off of whatever, we're at a place it doesn't matter anymore. Obedience to the Lord is important. And people are going to start calling you like they've been calling me the last couple weeks. Wow, some people think you're mentally retarded, you know. It's like, this stuff can't be happening. And now it's at their front door. Non-warning watchmen, if you're a watchman and you are not doing what God tells you to do, to your family, to whatever, you're in trouble with the Lord. He didn't deliver God's mail. So if you're put in the ministry of some way there's so many false prophets out there. But if you've been in the ministry of the Lord and you know there's a price to pay to tell truth, you know, like what we have to do on these YouTubes, if we don't do what God tells us to do, we're in trouble with God. I'd much rather stand before God and say, the people's blood is not on your hands. You told them what I told you to tell them. But there's many pastors in this day that are so afraid of the government, they're going to shut down everything. And in one day, did you notice how they shut down all the churches? This has never happened. Even in World War I, World War II, people of faith, this is how they got together and they got through all these things. So this is a whole different day of many freedoms. Will they be restored again? I don't know. None of us quite know where this is going, but let me tell you, it's in the plan. So we just have to prepare for the worst, but believe the best. The watchman contains heavy accountability. Before the Lord, we have a heavy accountability before the Lord. To much is given, much is required. Obedience is mandatory. The watchman is called to warn both the wicked and the righteous. And I've been warning some of these preachers. I've been warning them and had to, you know, get cut off from some of them because they chose to go the way of this new wave or whatever. Because they're promised great success, they're promised lots of different things if they go along with these plans. The worst tragic thing is to be under the ministry of a disobedient watchman. And I remember doing a whole study on Germany and how it came down, and as the people were dragged away, the main people they were mad at was the preachers. You lied to us. You didn't tell us what was happening. And I promised the Lord I would not be one of those preachers. Now the watchman would speak, then he had to warn, and then he had to confront. This ministry is often unappreciated and ignored by the majority of the people. You are not going to be famous. You're not going to be a mega preacher. Why? Because even in Jesus' day, he was not popular with the masses. And what did he say? He'd tell them the truth, and he'd say, you want to go too? He didn't hang on to them. He didn't control them through fear, manipulation, through guilt, through give me your money or else. You know, he didn't control the people at all through manipulation. Now they're wanting to have contracts in church. You're going to have to sign. As we come out of this, I'm already starting to see some contracts and stuff that's going to be all set in place. Now, do we want to hear bad news? No. But we have been so conditioned to be positive and to only hear wonderful things. This is going to take a lot of people by surprise. Now in Minnesota tomorrow, they're locking everybody down. People aren't prepared. They didn't have food. This is shocking. But a lot of us saw this coming. We tried to warn, say things are coming. Things are going to change in America. There is a new worldwide governance. There's new agendas, Agenda 21. I've told you to study that for 6 years. Look at it now while it's still online. You're going to start seeing they want to balance the earth. My son was telling me about a movie, The Endgame, and I said, well, what is that? And he said, well, they took 10 years, but they had to get all these stones together, and then when they got it, they pushed a button, and it was the end of, half of the population died or whatever, and I was just like, whoa, that's kind of weird. But all these movies, some of it you can't tell, but a good one to study right now is The Hunger Games, because my daughter-in-law told me about 3 years ago, we're entering in The Hunger Games, and I was like, what's that? And then I thought, interesting, Hunger Games, hunger. If they're fighting over toilet paper now, don't laugh, because pretty soon in the future, if this continues, they're going to be fighting over everything, okay? And we've also studied all this out. This ministry is often unappreciated and ignored until the enemy's right on your doorstep. Who wants to hear bad news? But God wants to set these people, these preachers, these watchmen, for your own good. He's not there to scare you, to be negative. He's trying to prepare his people. Today, we all must be watchmen to warn. What do we warn? We say, read the Bible. Everything is in the Bible. They're changing laws. That's in the Bible. I shared that last week. They're changing laws. Executive orders are being in place, and they've been in place. I could tell you stuff about these executive orders. It's almost too much to comprehend. But souls hang in the balance right now. The most important thing is to get people born again and make sure they know where eternity is. Oh, you sound so urgent. Well, we have to prepare for the worst, but believe the best, okay? So I'm just preparing. Make sure that everybody that you know of has gotten born again. That's the most important thing. The enemy's sword is still drawing blood, and we need to warn of its coming. The enemy wants to rewrite history. And everything that the Luciferian kingdom is, it does everything backwards. God separates the sheep from the goats. So what do they want to do? They want to get the goats together and get rid of the sheep. They want to balance everything. And that was what my son was telling me in The Endgame. Everything was about balancing the earth. Well, if you read the Agenda 21 and 2030, it's all about balance. It's all about the rich and the poor, and it's getting rid of what? The middle class. So, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is, in Jeremiah 6, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we do not walk in it. I also set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. God is addressing a rebellious Jerusalem through his weeping prophet Jeremiah. Watchmen over the people. But here's a clear example of what happens when they don't listen. Calamity. He said great calamity would come, will be brought upon the people because they wouldn't hear the Lord speaking through his watchmen. So now we have a lot of fake watchmen. They're telling you, let's look at Isaiah 56. And I have a whole message on this also. I'm just going to hit the highlights. There's people that would rather be wicked than turn to the Lord. In Isaiah 56, talking to his watchmen, talking to his preachers, talking to those that stand over people they're supposed to be serving, he said, for his watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, and they are dumb dogs that can't bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, and everyone for his own gain, for his own quarter. Come, you say then, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow we shall be as this day, and much more abundant. There's shepherds wrapped up in their own dreams, doing their own thing. What do? They neglect the sheep, neglect to prepare of the evil times, the days of darkness that are ahead. Isaiah, to the wicked watchers, they sleep at their posts and they let the people go unwarned. To let people go unwarned. Cry aloud, the Bible says, and spare not. Don't hold back. Watchmen cannot be lazy and self-absorbed. In this day, you have to be sold out to your calling. Sold out to your calling. Paul said to Timothy, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. In 2 Timothy 4:5. What were they supposed to warn? Attacks from the inside and out. Look at any good James Bond movie, and what did they always have? A double agent on the inside. It's an old trick, and it's been going on, and it's happening. It's been happening inside, and now we have outside influences too. Recognize the enemy's devices and warning of satanic deception. When they say peace, peace, all is well, beware. Watch and warn. Jesus Christ is our ultimate watchman. He's given us his word to tell us and to prepare us for things. We're living in Matthew 24 right now. Everybody read Matthew 24. Take your who's ever in your household and read Matthew 24 and see the earthquakes and all these things that are happening. The famine is around the world. People are saying, we can't get this now. We can't get that. They promised all this and now the ships are stopped and they won't deliver things. Jesus Christ is the ultimate watchman and chief shepherd. Now we are called to be salt and light. So when you hear bad news, which we do, which I've done, I cry it out, I get back up, and we're soldiers. Because pretty soon you're going to sense this has changed. Things are changing daily. I heard now I've got friends all over. They're telling me what's happening in different countries. And some countries, they will not treat you if you're a certain age. You can't have babies. There's a whole different thing now in hospitals. We're in a different era. And it's definitely changing fast. They're saying that they won't treat someone. I won't even go into, you probably get some of this news yourself. But he gave clear warnings that we need to be alert in these end times. Some would say, what's the use? No one's listening to us anyway. They don't plan to change or prepare for what's coming. You're called to blow the trumpet anyway. Remember, God is who you are responsible to. Don't be afraid of offending people now, because pretty soon they're either going to believe what the blue pill system is telling them and they're going to fall asleep, or they're going to finally wake up and say, I want real truth. People are too quick to not ask questions. They don't think for themselves. They just let people tell them what's happening. They tell them, do you really trust these people? I mean, I'm not even going to go into that. We are called to blow a warning anyway, even though no one wants to hear. Isaiah 30:10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak to us smooth things. We only want to hear good things. Prophesy lies to us. Prophesy deceits. They wanted fun and games and be just like the world around them. Why? They have forsaken the Lord. America has rejected God and the things of God. Many false watchmen that have sold out for the security and fame, what are they doing? They're feathering their own nests rather than warning the nations. Habakkuk 2, woe to him that covets an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high. Today we'd say he's feathering his own nest, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to my house by cutting off many people and hast sinned against thy soul. This isn't a day to turn cowardly or to turn back. Now I'm going to share in closing a couple of things that I see, and I've shared on before. One of it's new, but this last one I've shared before. And I want you to decide if we're there or not. First of all, 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come when? Suddenly. Suddenly. All of a sudden, things have changed. Suddenly. Peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. I want to share with you how to create a socialistic state or a totalitarian governmental rule, like I've shared before. Some of you know Saul Alinsky preached this. Some of our presidents sat under him, but I don't believe he's the founder of it. But this is I think it's 6 points. I'm just going to hit them briefly. How to create this kind of a state. Healthcare. Control healthcare and you control the people. Poverty. Increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easy to control and will not fight back if you're providing everything for them to live. Number three, debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you are able to increase taxes and this will provide more poverty. Four, gun control. Remove people's ability to defend themselves. That way you are able to create a police state. Welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives. Food. Hello. Housing and income. Education. Take control of what people read and listen to. Take control of what children learn in school. Religion. Remove the belief in God, basically from everywhere, unless it's their religion, the unity, all love. Class warfare. And this is what I want you to wake up to. If you do not understand the division that's happening all over, it's this right-left paradigm. It's this we against you, and it's this group against this group. If you do not know, this is part of the system to bring it down. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. This will cause more discontent, and it will be easy to tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. Wow. Perpetual war is a tool for global enslavement. What happens, and I want you to watch this, it demands that nations go in debt. And number two, in the name of security and fear, people give up all their freedoms. This is what's happening right now. Our freedoms, our Constitution of the United States is what's happening. The virus is taking away the Constitution's, everybody's rights. You need to see what's really happening here. Now, the third wave summary, and I'm just going to close with this, and I ordered this book. It's called The Third Wave. When people come out of this, it's going to be a different world, and we're going into the third wave. I was doing my granddaughter's fingernails yesterday. We did polish, and she goes, look at how bad they look. And I was like, yeah, we got to take the old polish off, put the new polish on. So I had to take it down, and it just kind of brought a revelation to me. Bringing down to prepare for something else, okay? They're bringing down the second wave, and they're now rising up into the third wave, the artificial intelligence age, the digital age. Everything is digital. And there's been books. And this one book that I had, it was so intense, I couldn't quite understand it, but it was given to every governor, everybody. So I thought, well, if they're getting it, I need to know what's happening to prepare for the third wave. Well, another guy, and write this down, because I just got it yesterday, so I know it's still available, Steve Case, Stevecase. He rewrote it because it was quite complicated, and he rewrote it now for the third wave so other people could understand. And I'm just going to give you a brief thing so you can know what to prepare. We have to be watchmen. Watch for these things. The third wave lays out the history of the internet and how it's about to perpetuate everything in our lives. It's an omni-connected, always online world. He rewrote the 1980 book of the same name by Alvin, I think it's Toffler, T-O-F-F-I-E-R, or L-E-R, small print there. But I have that book too, and it's just really hard to understand, especially when they went into some of the things I've never heard of. Then I started seeing them being announced on television. I was like, someone's following a plan here. This third wave is about the transition into the information age. Remember this, even in the Bible, that the information shall increase. It's everything so... In the third wave is about the transition into the information age, when knowledge started taking precedence over material items in terms of what's valuable. So our church buildings used to be valuable? Will they be there? When are they sustainable? Or are we going to go online church forever? Banks, are they sustainable? Or are we going to do virtual banking without banks? Things to just watch for. Now they're talking about digital wallets, currency wallets that, of course, money is so dirty and has germs on it that we have to get rid of the cash. What a great plan, huh? So that the cashless society entering into the ID 2020, all of this with chips going forward, we're in a huge shift right now. I never thought we'd live to be here. Even though you study these things, when it's here, it's really hard to believe it's really here. We are in the end times, folks. So what else does it say? I'm not going to go into all of it. I just wanted to give you a little bit about what this world is going to look like. The third wave of the internet age will bring lots of different things, and there's three lessons that we're supposed to learn. The internet will soon permeate everything on this planet. Everything will be done by the third wave. Everything will be done through the internet. Artificial intelligence. If you ever got to watch People of Interest, wasn't that the series back? That was Person of Interest. That was a very good, look up that stuff. That was very telling of how artificial intelligence works. Number two, you must embrace disruption to thrive in a third world wave. When they bring down the second wave, which is the industrial age, which how we did everything in the past, they say now it's had its day, we're done with that, now we're going into the new. It's going to be disruptive. Are we sensing any disruption? It says now we have to cooperate with second wave people to succeed. In other words, there's mergers. There's going to be mergers of what? Monsanto and Bayer. Google with so-and-so. Disney with... Have you seen this happening? They're merging things that they've all learned and they're bringing it all together. This is part of the third wave. Soon everything on this planet will be online. Many people will work from their homes forever. You're not going to have an office to go back to. This is the third wave to sustain energy. There's a big thing, and if you look in the sustainable, what they want to bring about is they start controlling things. It's the elite and then the slaves, basically. A little example would be in the mega churches, the pastors are the people that have everything, and then the poor people below just have to serve them. That's kind of a little model of what we are to see. Soon everything on this planet will be online thanks to the Internet of Things. The first wave started in the 90s with the dawn of the Internet. The first web browser was called the World Wide Web. Remember that? Not going to go into all those details. Then they spread the hardware, the technology, as well as convinced people that the Internet was useful. I was one of the hardest ones to get on the Internet. I just hated it. I was like, I don't need that. Well, if you didn't, by now you're obsolete because you didn't get rid of that. You didn't move forward. You don't know how to operate. Well, it's going to continuously change. The second wave hit in 2000s when Google, Amazon, eBay, Facebook started to change our daily lives. Smartphones then gave us access to the web everywhere and all the time, which brought us to the brink of the third wave. This last wave will be shaped by the Internet of Things, in which connection is unlimited. You're going to be connected to your cars, your homes, your cities, nature. Your couch will be able to talk to your bookshelf, your fridge to your grocery store, your car to the one driving next to you, and the crop field to the harvester. Lesson two, you have to be okay with big, sudden changes and even disrupt yourself if you are to make it in this third wave. This changes everything, which means a lot of old solutions will become obsolete. I'm going to give you an example on John Deere. 20 years ago, they were working on a self-steering tractor and harvesters using GPS and satellite technology. It's not uncommon for big land and farming machines to navigate all on their own, where the farmer sits at home only checking in occasionally via a handheld device. Sounds a lot like self-driving cars. Imagine how far we'd be down that road if John Deere had licensed and sold his technology years ago instead of waiting for Google, Apple, and Tesla to take that cake from them. Well, now they're all merging. They're merging all of what they've learned, all their technologies together. But self-disruption is hard to accept and even harder to embrace. It wasn't easy for Apple to say goodbye to the success of the iPod, but the iPhone was the next step. Same with the iPad and MacBooks. Just like Amazon was okay with selling an ebook reader in spite of the biggest physical bookseller in the world. So they went with the old, now they're bringing in the new. It's hard to abandon your worldview from one day to the next and doubt everything you know. But embracing change and letting disruption happen is the only way to thrive in the third wave. So we're going to see partnerships, merges, Apple, iTunes, you've seen that. They all started selling each other's stuff, being a part of each other. As A is now connected to B because they've all merged, or that my fridge now knows when to order milk. But if you're not a millennial, this will get you up to speed fast. Read the book, The Third Wave. It's a good book to help you live in the now and see the world as it is. And it's ever changing. So, what do you think? We're in a new day. We're in a new hour. But the Lord's with us. And we will plan to be here next week too, Lord willing.
Amen. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.